May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The reading is from Psalms 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord, who answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. The poor cried out, and the Lord heard, and saved them out of all their troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from the 10th chapter of Mark, starting with verse 46. It tells a story of healing. I invite you to listen for the word of God. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. When I was in high school, I discovered Monty Python movies. We would rent them from the video rental store and play them in our VCR. Back when you had to rent videos, at least in my house, it meant as often as not, you'd watch them a couple of times before they had to go back. One of those Monty Python movies, The Life of Brian, is a sort of spoof on Jesus' story, another person alive at the same time, only his name was Brian, not Jesus. In it, there's this ex-leper who makes an appearance. Maybe you've seen the film or remember. He's begging for alms, asking for alms for an ex-leper. There's a bit of confusion, an ex-leper. And he says, yes, Jesus healed me. The comedy of the existence of this beggar at the side of the road, still asking for alms after being healed, opens up for us space to consider the question of what is healing and what is transformation. What changed for that particular man as he was healed? What changes for Bartimaeus, who's healed in today's story? What changes for us when we experience transformation? Discover that it's not always an easy thing to experience transformation and change. And sometimes, even when a miraculous thing happens, there's still more work to be done to reimagine our lives on the other side of that moment. In Monty Python's imagination, it was a man who needed to reimagine his life on the other side of this healing into something different from the form he knew. There is a difference or a distance in our theological imagination between what we describe as healing and what we describe as curing, although sometimes the two are intertwined. In Greek, as in the New Testament, the word used to describe healing, sozo, also has roots in the words used to describe salvation. We talk about healing and wholeness as belonging together, a participation in the salvation of God. Of course, salvation has, as a part of its word, salve, like a balm or an ointment meant to heal. There's something powerful in healing that is about wholeness and wellness and salvation that is more encompassing or of a different quality than curing. And I don't mean to discount the earnestness or the implication of work at curing, at tending, at healing bodies in a physical and real way. There are so many who we know and love who are even this day suffering from the reality of illness or injury or disease, who are in that awful liminal time waiting for news of a diagnosis or the results of some lab work. Our bodies matter, and we value and give thanks for all of the ways that we're able to experience strengthening and tending and healing and curing in our bodies. The Methodists, from their beginning, have been invested in healthcare, have their names on hospitals, have invested in the training and care of bodies that are wounded or injured or suffering. John Wesley even wrote a book, a handy health guide that is a bit scary to read today. He recommends some particular treatments that have not stood up to medical scrutiny. But he does, in one point, recommend holding a cat when you've got a particular ailment of your stomach, which I think is maybe far in advance of what the most... Anyway, we've been preoccupied with our capacity to be a community that offers care, medical care and tending and healing work, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors and communities in the world. And all this is important. And also, there's something more to our call to be people who participate in and experience the salvation of God, who touch and know the power of wellness and wholeness that is far beyond what happens to our physical bodies. In the ancient Near East, in Jesus' community, people who were afflicted with disease or suffering
from suffering with physical restrictions often were also judged as bearing that particular condition because of their sin or unrighteousness. There was an unhelpful link, expecting that a person's righteousness would be reflected in their physical wellness. We have come to understand disease and disability in very different ways. And we have found ways to adapt our communities that make it possible for people with physical limitations to participate fully in the life of the church and the community, and to offer gifts for the sake of the whole. Boundaries that once cut someone out of community no longer do so, which is a kind of healing for the whole of our community. But I say all this to remind us that healing, as it's practiced in Jesus' life and ministry, is playing a double function, because it not only restores a body to health, but also always restores a person into the life of community. We're coming to understand more and more about the deep links between healing and community. Wise thinkers of our own time, folk like bell hooks, have drawn our attention to the ways that healing is an act of communion, she writes in her book, All About Love. We understand that healing takes place in community, in mutuality, in belonging and care. That something that allows us to experience wellness and wholeness and fullness of life is ultimately possible only in community. That we cannot be well as humans in isolation. That we belong with and for each other. And that we have a phenomenal capacity to care for each other and be cared for by each other. This week's gospel text, the story of the healing of a man named Bartimaeus, has Jesus encountering him on the side of a road. As he moves about, Jesus encounters Bartimaeus calling out loudly, acknowledging who Jesus is. And then my favorite line in this particular passage is the one where Jesus asks Bartimaeus to tell him what he wants. Jesus asks Bartimaeus to describe the healing that he desires, the change that he's hungry for. As I hear Jesus in this story asking the question of Bartimaeus this week, it struck me as a question that I needed to spend time with tending in my own life. I have felt anxiety and a sense of dis-ease in the sort of things don't feel comfortable in the world. I'm aware that anxieties about the coming election, anxieties about war in the Middle East, uncertainties about people I love, all of these things are floating around in my consciousness and out of my consciousness as a kind of free-floating and occasionally all-consuming anxiety and fear. I've begun practicing prayerful reflection more, because I confess that I'm not sure. Well, I have several solutions of what I hope will happen in the next couple of weeks. But the deep questions of what is the healing I want, I think need further reflection. I invite you to join me in this practice of self-reflection and self-examination that is asking deeper questions about what it is that is uncomfortable or underneath anxiety or at the heart of fear when it comes to occupy my mind and body, and to continue that reflection, asking about what is deeper and deeper underneath. The work of self-awareness is only possible when we take time to pay attention to what is and what is happening. This week, I turned again to the book Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer, who writes as an Indigenous person offering wisdom and inviting the broader community to receive some of the gifts of intentionality and wisdom that can point us toward healing and wholeness and reconciliation. In Braiding Sweetgrass, she tells a story of a Superfund site near Lake Onondaga in New York, a site where waste from manufacturing had been dumped into this lake, accumulated over years, and it was fenced off and written off under the title of Waste Pits. Lat water, as a part of our land and earth, the place where we find our life, labeled as a site of waste, a collection point for things that have been discarded, that are cut off from life. In the 1970s, a professor from nearby in Syracuse broke onto the site and surreptitiously, under the dark of night, planted grass seed that spelled out the letters H-E-L-P, large, on the hillside behind the lake. And the grass grew as if the earth itself was calling out, not unlike Bartimaeus, calling out for help and for healing. A visual depiction of a otherwise silent but persistent invitation. Part of the challenge of places like Onondaga Lake are that we can fence them out of our view. We can look the other way. We can literally block them off so that our eyes pass over them. And by failing to look at the places of destruction and woundedness, we can falsely believe that things are okay. But the invitation to participate in the work of reclamation and restoration and healing requires a sober recognition, opening our eyes, if you will, in honor and deference to poor Bartimaeus, whose eyes were opened by the power of Jesus' healing. We're invited to be people whose eyes are opened to the need of the world around us, and also to awareness of our own pain and struggle and trauma. Years ago, I had the privilege of participating in a workshop designed for the congregation I was serving and other churches that were serving primarily unhoused individuals, a social work workshop that invited us to consider how we might work differently if we were going to learn wisdom from the growing field of trauma-informed care. An idea that began in the medical community and also extends through social work, trauma-informed care asks us to be attentive to the reality that people we want to be in community with or to offer help to, having experienced the trauma, particular traumas in their own life, as well as the ongoing trauma of insecurity, of a safe place to be or food to eat, the trauma of the reality of life informs, affects a person's ability to participate in healing. And an awareness of the reality of trauma in the lives of the community around us helps us more compassionately and effectively engage with a spirit of mutuality and consideration and compassion and love. When we look at problems as objective challenges to be overcome, but fail to see the whole of a person's life or story, fail to see a person's participation in the community that they're a part of, we miss out on so much. we end up like that ex-leper in the life of Brian, whose disease was healed, but whose life was not radically changed. To participate in healing and wholeness and wellness requires a more comprehensive and holistic approach that honors the integrity, the dignity, and the story and the trauma of people we're in community with. I think about this often, even on Sunday mornings when I come into church. When I was growing up in Nebraska, pretty much everyone in our community was connected to a church. So when someone new came to town, they found the church that they were going to belong to. So when someone new showed up at church, my assumption was that they came because they were new to town looking for which church to connect to. You may have noticed, but things are different these days. It's no longer the assumption that everyone has a church community that they're connected to. In fact, and props to y'all for doing this, showing up at church on a Sunday morning, online or in person, requires an intentional decision to shape your life and your weekend in a way that is a little bit countercultural in Southern California. You have bothered to get up, to get dressed, to come here, to sit in this room and this community, to sing along with hymns and extend your heart in prayer in a desire to be shaped in a way that centers divine love. In any case, I mean to say all this because my perspective has changed. And now when someone new comes to church, I don't assume that they're just looking for whether the Methodists or the Lutherans feel more comfortable to them. I assume that if you bother to come to church on a Sunday morning and haven't before, or haven't in this community before, that there's something tugging at your heart, something you're searching for, or needing, or carrying with you as you come to this place. I don't know if I'd exactly call it trauma-informed welcoming, but I do assume that we've come because we are in need of community or love or care. And I think it applies, well, y'all know better than I. I think it applies not only to people who come for the first time, but for those of us who bother to show up every week or occasionally when we're able. We come because we're needing something. We come to church not because we've got our lives all together and we'd just like to sit in a room with the other people who have their lives all together and sing happy songs about it. We come because we need reminders of the depth of God's love for us. We come because we need reminders that we're called to make difficult decisions for the sake of compassion and justice and love. We come because we need community on that journey. In a way, then, I think all of us are a part of this community in search of healing, in search of hope and care in a world that has far too much uncertainty and anxiety and fear, where it's tempting to fence off and wall off ourselves from others, to draw lines of us and them, to avert our gaze from people who would hurt our hearts to think about. But the call of the gospel is to be people who extend life and healing and wholeness with love and compassion. To be people whose eyes are opened and have the courage to look at, to offer care for the broken places of our world, our earth, our communities, our own lives, and family. We're invited to participate in the embodiment of healing as people whose own stories need a balm, a salve, an ointment, a touch of care, and people who believe in the capacity of our God to offer that gift of life and wholeness, of connection and blessing. We come in celebration of a Savior who saves still, who offers that salvation and wholeness and hope that comes in our connection together, our mutuality and care. And whatever challenges we face, we do so knowing and trusting that God is not giving up on us, that we're invited to stay tender, to let our wounds be visible enough that we might receive care. This week, I invite you into the discipline of attention to your own self. This is a like inventory of your own body. As you sit or lie somewhere, to do a scan of where in your body you are feeling well and where in your body you are feeling pain or stress or heaviness. To be aware as you think of the world, of your life, of your community, about what is causing that, and to hold open with hope an invitation to God to be a salve, to be healing for the tender place where you are hungry for care. In opening ourselves to the power of healing love, I believe that we have the possibility, the probability of receiving a blessing from a God who always means to be our liberator, a tender toward wholeness. The work of healing Onondaga Lake is ongoing. Tremendous progress has been made through various interventions, including growing plants that help pull toxins out of the water and the soil, a reinvestment in that abandoned place as a place that matters, and a casting of a vision of what it can be, of a fullness of life that comes from humans and non-human animals being able to enjoy that place as a part of home. Our bodies, our communities, the places where we are, the earth itself is the community in which we are invited to find our home, to experience healing and wholeness and belonging and life. May it be so. Amen.